I was reading something this morning in Proverbs from chapter 3, and it's sort of like it's an instruction here, an instruction to us about this word that we don't hear so much. It's here in Proverbs 3, verse 11, and Solomon writing to one of his sons, or all of his sons. He probably had dozens, given the amount of wives he had. That's another story. Sorry, just erase that. That's not really part of the message here. So why did Solomon have so many wives? I didn't mean to introduce that question to you. So please, Lord, just bless this time now. Help me to stay on track here with this. It says, "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, nor be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom he loves, as a father the son in whom he delights." And the word reproof is the word that is interesting. We come to church again and again, and this is an exercise in reproof. There are proofs of who God is in the world. I think you could see that. The sun comes up, the moon goes through its phases. All those things are set in motion by our Creator. That's what the Bible tells us, and this is where we are with this. And we come to church week by week to get reproof, to be shown again something from the mind of God. Psalms 62:11 says this. It says, "Once have I heard this." Well, let me read it so it's correct here. 62, verse 11, "Once God has spoken, twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God. And to you, O Lord, belongs mercy, for you will render to a man according to his work." So this is both a, you know, once we have heard it, twice we have heard it, three times we have heard it, four times we have heard it. This is like a remarkable thing to think about, that God would say things to us once and twice and once and twice and once, and like, why do you keep telling us these things? Because we are stubborn people, and we need to hear these things again and again. And, if we go to Matthew chapter 12, I just want to think about like the way the Easter season is coming. And just, this is, again, we celebrate this every spring with, we hear it once and we're going to hear it again. And why did Jesus come the way that he came? What's the point of it? And in Matthew chapter 12, there is something happening here. There's a group of people. These are high-minded people. These are religious leaders. And they want something from Jesus. They want him to give them a miracle kind of demonstration about what's going on with him. The scribes, it says here chapter 12, verse 38, some of the scribes and Pharisees said, "Teacher, we wish a sign from you." And he answered them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks a sign, but no sign shall be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, the whale, so will the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." And that's the important thing. The songs that were sung at the end there, all of the creation cries holy. All of the earth cries holy. We see there's the thing that Jesus is saying here. You are looking for something like this, but I am coming to go underneath everything. I am going to the depths of the issue. I am going to go into the earth as a dead man, and that death is going to bring a life that no one thought possible, not even the devil. When we think about the devil is minding high things. In Isaiah, he says, "I would be as the Most High." It's like it's the bright things, the shiny things. And the devil is an alienated being. Let me explain that a minute. He has forgotten where he came from, and he has forsaken his design. And he can't reconcile his glory or his splendor, I should say. Glory belongs to God, so let's say a different word. He can't reconcile the fact that he was made with the fact of what he is. And so he is and disconnected himself as much as possible from the one who made him. And this is why, like, he is constantly trying to direct people to mind high things. And then when Jesus came, it says, I got to tell you something. I got to tell you something. I'm here for the lost lamb. I'm here for the publican or the tax collector and the sinner. That's who I'm going to spend my time with, because I'm coming to get underneath the problem and lift people above the thing. The last shall be first. The last shall be first. And if I go into the belly of the earth in death, if I am a corn of wheat, and if I fall into the ground and die, then something magnificent will happen. If I don't go into the ground and die, I will abide alone. Think about the devil and as he tempted Jesus. What did he tempt Jesus with? Well, take this stone. Oh, we've got rocks here. We're the rock church. Amazing. Take the stone, turn it into bread. Take that stone, do something like that. Okay, let me take you to the top and the pinnacle of the temple. Throw yourself down. That'll be amazing. Hey, here are all the kingdoms of the world. Look at all of their magnificence. They can all be yours, Jesus. High thing, high thing, high thing. And Jesus said, you just don't really understand, do you? It's like I took a hunk of earth and I gave it fingers and toes, ears and a mouth, and then I put a mind in it. Amazing. Because I was creating him in my image. And then I breathed into that, to go back to the worship set. Yes, our lungs, it's the breath in our lungs. We pour out our praises. The breath of God went into human beings. And this is what Jesus said. You know, the last shall be first. Satan, you were first. You were glorious. And then something in you took you away from what you were supposed to be. And I'm going to show you that it's not so much that I am so high, it's also that I am ready to go so low and to lift people up from underneath with my everlasting arms. And so everything about Jesus, think about it. Moses and Joshua, they are looking at the glory of God in a burning bush and in a captain of the host there. And what does God say? Take off your shoes, because the ground you are on is holy. It's like it's the ground that's holy. All creation sings holy to the Lord. All the earth will rejoice. The trees will sing. That's the thing that God, Jesus came to the earth, took on flesh and bone to get under it all. And the devil didn't see it coming. He's like the prince of the power of the air. I control the atmosphere. Well, the game is not won there, devil. The game is won on the ground and under the ground. If I go into the earth and die, then the gates of hell go under and we are redeemed. So that's the message we come to hear again and again, is that, you know, it's kind of interesting. Another proverb says, go to the ant. You know, lazy people always look for the highway, you know. I could be rich if I just had the right numbers on the Powerball. That's amazing. I'm going to go high. I'm just going to pick the right numbers, and then I'll be rich. That'll be amazing. But God is communicating, go to the ant. Where does the ant store its stuff? In the ground. And it creates this whole capacity for something. Go to the ant, you sluggard. If you're too lazy, get grounded in what Jesus is doing. He gets underneath everything. That's what he came to do. Jonah went in the belly of the fish. Jesus went into the belly of the earth. You don't understand. There's a reason why not many wise are called to do this, because you're thinking about all the wrong things. You're minding high things, and I'm saying, you know, the less, the least, the little ones, the lambs, the publicans, the sinners, the thief on the cross, all of those kind of people are the ones I came to rescue, because I'm going to get underneath the reality of them, and I'm going to do something glorious from the ground up. I'm going to build a foundation. You know, if you've ever, I remember once we were, years ago, we used to do a Bible study down at the Projects downtown. Lafayette Courts was one of them, and then there was a day when they stripped them all, and they were going to implode them, and we were watching from a garage. My wife and several of us that work there, we were watching like how it happened, and you didn't see anything there, but all of a sudden these flashes of light went through all of the support beams, and you know what? It totally collapsed. This is what's going to happen to this world system. All of the support beams will be taken out, and it'll collapse. And then God will come back in the clouds. It wasn't a holy cloud he called Moses there. He called Moses on holy ground. Joshua, holy ground. Jesus, I'm washing your feet. Jesus, I'm washing your feet, disciples, because you're going to walk on the ground. You're going to walk. You're going to be connected to this earth. And I'm going to get under it. I'm going to make it possible for the last to be first because of what I do in the belly of the earth in resurrection. That's what's going to be the triumphant thing. So that's what we're here to talk about all this month and these coming days as Jesus goes to be resurrected, to be crucified and to be resurrected. Amen? Amen. All right. So Lord, thank you for these words. I ask you to bless them to our hearts now. If you could all stand, we'll just pray. The ushers are going to bring the elements to you. We're going to take communion just now, and you can come forward and do that. Lord, we just pray that you prepare our hearts for this moment to take the bread and the juice and celebrate a remembrance of what you did on the cross and what you did in your resurrection. Amen.
Good morning. Sound like a deep voice there. It's great to see you guys. Jim Beckier, I found one of your golf balls in Herring Run the other day. Okay. Thing is, it was the one you teed off from Clifton Park. It was a little ways away. So it's about a half a mile away. So I'll return it to you, okay? Just watch how you're driving, okay? Great to see you. Pastor Steve, great message, great thoughts. Thinking of great men. Think of Rob Smith over there. Think of Rob Smith over there. Just like, let's just look at Rob Smith for a minute. That guy deserves some attention. He doesn't, because he doesn't know what to do with it. I love that. I love giving him attention. Pastor Steve, yeah, sorry about that. That was amazing just to think about the redemptive work of Christ and how low he went and how wrong we actually get it. That's actually part of our problem. I want to speak from Psalm chapter 6 today. We want to rest in God. We want to worship God. I actually asked Dr. Wanda why she comes to church, and she basically spoke Pastor Steve's message. Right? You did. You did. It's exactly. It's what I actually want to. Hopefully we can talk on this morning. It's great to be with people that want their souls to be in connection with God, where the human spirit is being communicated to directly by the Holy Spirit. Like this is, you could say, the challenge of our life. The carnal man, he is an enemy of God. But the spiritual man, he has life and peace. There's a great big difference, and this is why we come. Have you ever seen like an 18-wheeler back up to a trailer? Has anybody ever watched that? Have you ever watched a, like a train get hitched up, the cars get hitched up to each other. It's like the process of that. It's really fun to watch. The springs, you know, come together because all that force has come together and they're connected. It's amazing. And this is God's desire with us in our lives. And this is because the flesh is an enemy of the Spirit of God. This is in Galatians chapter 5. And they're completely contrary one to another. And in Matthew chapter 7, that broad way in our lives is very easy to find. It's very deceptive. It's very, very tempting. Easy to be attracted to. But the narrow gate, wow. Well, when you find that, you know, you have found life and peace. You have found God. And so we're here to be connected with God today. So let's pray. Father, we pray for this morning. God, thank you that we're able to worship you, to be in your presence, place of your fullness, God, where there's the fullness of joy. God, we thank you. Thank you. We have a spiritual life, and we have found our Savior. We have found life with our spiritual life, God. Our spiritual life is not being wasted. It's bringing glory to you. It's connected to you. We thank you, God. Bless this morning in Christ's name. Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles. Let's turn first of all to Hebrews chapter 12. And then we'll go to Psalm 6. It says this in verse 10. For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure. Okay, this is a father after the flesh. This is our natural fathers. They chasten us after their own pleasure. But he, for our profit, that we might be partakers. Wow. Partakers of holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. The peaceable fruit of righteousness. Now let's turn to Psalm chapter 6. It says this in Psalm chapter 6. It says, O Lord, verse 1. O Lord, look at verse 7, chapter 7 and chapter 8. It's the same thing. O Lord, like there's a cry out to God. There's a need in man. And it's okay to actually have a need. This is how we are designed. We are dust. We're created from this earth. God has breathed into us his Spirit. God is a spirit, and God wants us to be connected with him. We've been created in his image. Sometime that distance seems very far, very far. And he says this, like Pastor Steve said, it says, rebuke me not in thine anger. He didn't say that, but I was thinking of chastisement. Rebuke me not in your anger. Like we tell God, I know your nature, and you're not mad at me. God, you are a righteous God. And I know you're not going to handle me after the way an earthly father might handle me. You're going to handle me as a righteous God. He says, neither chasten me after your hot displeasure. Imagine God in his emotions, forsaking his nature and chastising us after our anger and actually changing. Could we ever trust him again? We wouldn't even be worshiping here in this sanctuary today if God ever changed his nature. Okay? And it says this, verse 2, have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am weak. Have mercy. God, you know my frame. You know how you've made me, God. You are acquainted with me, God, and have mercy on my soul. You know how easy it is for me to sin. You know how easy it is for me to look and resist you. You know how easy it is for me to go my very own way. You know that, God. Have mercy on me. Need mercy. We don't need God's judgment, his hot displeasure. We need his mercy. His mercy rejoices over hot displeasure, over his judgment. Can you imagine God's open arms when we have failed? Just thinking of the lady caught in adultery. It's like he wants to show the way he can connect with a person. These Pharisees, they wanted to divide people. They were under the law. They were divisive. They were going to add more sin to sin. Where the law is, there's sin. Jesus Christ, remember the man that he healed? He told him to go and sin no more. I love that. Like he gives someone that type of ability. After, a lame man, someone that like thinks they are like no good, or they think they are crippled in life, or they think they can't function. He gives them, not only does he give them mercy, but he gives them, give them mercy, but he also gives them grace, and he says, go and sin no more. Like this is our God. And then he says this. He says, O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. Heal me, God. You don't have to be healed to be healed. You have to cry out to God. That's the healing in itself. You never have to be healed. When we were at the Eurocon and we did the prayer meetings, it was just healing to cry out to our Savior. You don't have to be physically healed on this earth to be healed. God has such a greater healing than we could ever ask or think. Heal me, O God. How deep will that go? Our little request is so small compared to how God wants to heal us. Okay, so just think about that when you make a request to God. My soul is also, verse 3, my soul is also vexed, but thou, O Lord, how long? Okay. Isn't that a beautiful place to be? You're asking God, nobody else, you're saying, how long is this going to be? Am I going to have to live with this thorn in my flesh for the rest of my life? And God says, and it may be a long time you're with it, but you discover the glory of God. You discover the riches of his glory. It's not perfection on this earth that we are after. It's to be united with God in communion with God, to be hitched up with God. That's why we're chastised, because we're sons of God. We have an inheritance. We belong to God. He calls us, you're my son. Behold, what manner of love the Father's given to us, that we might be called the children of God. It's great to know why Christ came. It's so easy to mind high things. They're so high, and we think those are our deliverances, and that's our health, or that's our, you know, that's our being, or that's where we're happy. Those circumstances are required. God says, no, I'll show you a much deeper way. I'll let the deep things minister on the deep parts of your soul. You're going to see the depth of me inside of you. And he says, you're going to live like that on this earth. Christ, what did he trust on this earth? He could do nothing of himself in John chapter, nothing. He said, but what I hear in the moment, he didn't preserve some incredible doctrine in his soul for the future. He listened to his Father, and he used everything he knew right now to listen to the Father's voice. What I hear, and that's how I judge. What a intimate man. What a man of faith. I was thinking the verse, it's in Romans chapter 4, verse 16. It speaks about, it's a faith. It's of a man that has no ability to give himself anything and realizes he is bankrupt and unable to provide himself anything. It is a faith so that what? It might be of grace. That's why it's a faith. That's why this faith, this man here is living in faith, because he knows then it's grace. And he's living by the grace of God. He's living by the gifts of God. He hasn't worshiped his faith and worshiped what he can do and worshiped what he can get. He's placing his faith in God. It's a faith so that it can be 100% grace. That's what this man is realizing. And I'm just going to read quickly now, okay? Because I do want to get to the end, because the end is actually amazing. In a unique way. For verse 5, I'll go to verse 5. For in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave, who shall give thee thanks? He's speaking to God. He's saying, God, how are you thinking here? Like, God, if I'm in the grave, there's no more remembrance of you. It's like, God, like, who's going to give you thanks? Like, he's talking to God. If I live in spiritual death, where's there going to be life? If I feed the flesh and I sow to the flesh, I'm going to reap that corruption. He's starting to think like that. Wait, I can't live in death. I have to live in life. And then he says this. He says, I am weary. This is amazing. I am weary with my groanings all the night. Make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with tears. It's like, this is the burden that a woman of God can carry in this life when they walk with God. They can have incredible sorrows. They can go through the depths of God's chastisement. And it may seem grievous, but it produces a peaceable fruit of righteousness. And you can cry to God, and you can give him your tears. You can tell him how you feel. And this man is saying, this David is saying that to God here. He can see how many they are. God, I feel crippled in life. God, I don't have what I think that I actually need. God, why don't I have that? You can cry out to God. Cry out to God. I was thinking of devotions in the morning. I was thinking of a man that has his devotion by his fireplace. It's like And he makes his cries out to God. And that when he gets to heaven, I used to always wonder about devotions in the morning and all that. When that man gets to heaven, that may be what stands out for his glory. His life may not have looked incredible on this earth, but that man beside his fireplace in the morning got before God and he worshiped the living God. He didn't have great victories on the earth that everybody saw, that everybody had accolades for, that everybody thought was like something that every man should have. He wasn't an example like that. There's no beauty in Jesus Christ. But he went to his Father. He had a morning devotional. He cried. He made his couch wet from his tears. This is a man of God. Did he have great victories that we all? No. He was a man of God. And then it says this: mine eyes is consumed because of grief, and I wax old because of mine enemies. Well, our enemies, they're all around us. And they speak. They speak loud things. They speak things that are slanderous. They accuse us day and night. Our enemies are all around us. Then he says this amazing thing in verse 8. It's just you want to shout it. You want to shout it. It says, depart from me. Depart from me. Depart from me. There's victory. Like there's something inside of me from God. And it says, I have found that connection. My human spirit has found the connection with the Holy Spirit of God. I'm not going to live disconnected in my soul. My soul is going to be spoken to by the Spirit of God through my human spirit. And my soul is going to speak to my body. Just depart from me. All you workers of iniquity, for the Lord, this is what it is. The little man by his fireside, in the morning, on his couch, what can he say? The Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. What an intimate man that is. What an intimate man that is. And he doesn't have anything on this, that's going to walk through here and he's going to get some incredible reward. But he was weeping before God in the morning, believing in the nature of God. These are heroes. These are heroes in our faith. These are precious people. These are people that God is ministered to by. It says, the Lord has heard my supplication. Just think of that in your, God has heard it. God has heard it. It's a victory right there. You got it. He's heard my supplication. You've made connection with God. Just knowing that he hears us, that's enough. What else do you need? God, it went into God's ear, into a good God's ear. What else do I need? The good shepherd's ear. The goodness of God leads me to repentance. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. What else do we need? Aren't we worshipers of God? Or are we worshipers of things, of these high things that never satisfy the soul? And he says this in verse 10. He says, let all my enemies be ashamed, like accuser of the brethren day and night. That little man sitting by his fire in the morning, he sends that great big but really little bitty Satan away shamed. All of my enemies are going to be ashamed. The world is going to be ashamed. Because God heard that man's prayers. Okay? Just finish reading. Let all my enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. Let them return and be ashamed suddenly. That's how it ends. Not some glamorous way. Just a way between David and God. Knowing who God was. He went out and defeated the Philistines. No, it wasn't that. He just made connection with God, and that was enough for him in his soul, and he's satisfied. Okay, so let's pray. Father, We thank you. We thank you that we can worship you together in your house. In your house. Wow, and we thank you for the rest that is here, God, for our souls. God, thank you for correcting us, God. Thank you for delivering us from ourselves to yourself, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for how unique your victory is, Lord, in our souls, how quiet it is, what happens underneath of the ground, God, how internal it is, not external. The inner man is renewed day by day. The outward man can perish, but the inward man is renewed. If there's anyone here today that would like to have Jesus Christ, who came to this earth to be our Savior, to be their Savior, salvation is a gift of God. Cannot boast about it. It's a step of faith where you say, I have a need, and I'm believing you did everything I need for my need, God. And you say to Christ, come into my life. I believe you shed your blood. You were a perfect offering. You pleased the Father. You died on a cross for me so that I could have eternal life. And if there's anyone here today or on the internet saying that, if you're here today, just raise your hand and say, I receive Christ today. Raise your hand if you're receiving Christ today for the first time. Okay. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you for this day in Christ's name. Amen.